thank you for having me come and be a part of this study of God's attributes. But I have to confess something. This subject of God's wisdom is much bigger, much broader, much deeper than I can even begin to cut in 30 minutes. There's 212 verses in the scripture relating to wisdom. Now, I have to be honest with you, in seminary, I was always taught to go verse by verse. Do any of you catch that?
Yes.
So we've got 212 verses to go through tonight. And now, if some of you want to stay, that's great, but I don't plan on covering all 212 of them. So anyway, I just wanted to let you know that I'm not doing what I was taught to do in seminary. And that. So I'm violating the great principle of seminary. So anyway, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn to the book of Job. The book of Job, chapter 28, is in your, if you're using the Bible in the pew, it's page 600. I can honestly say that I have been praying, I've been really praying for wisdom for this message. I have put into practice what all of us, I think, do, and that is we pray constantly for wisdom. And you can imagine out of 222 verses, choosing a text is a challenge. Because I could have chosen any one of them, and they would have been very beneficial for tonight. But I chose Job just because I know the history of Job and all that he went through. And all that he went through. And then the final conversations that he had with God in those final chapters. I want to turn to Job chapter 28 and verse 12 is where I'll start tonight. If you'll stand with me as we read God's word, please. But where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? No mortal comprehends its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. It deep says, it's not in me. The sea says, it's not in me. It cannot be bought with the finest gold, nor its price be weighed out in silver. It cannot be bought with gold or with precious onyx. Neither gold nor crystal can compare with it, nor can it be had for the jewels of gold. Coral and jasper are not worthy of mention. The price of wisdom is beyond rubies. The topaz of Cush cannot compare with it. It cannot be bought with pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed even from the birds in the sky. Destruction and death say, only a rumor of it has reached our ears. God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells. For he views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when he made a decree for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm, then he looked at wisdom and appraised it. He confirmed and tested it. And then he said to the human race, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity we have tonight to look at a topic that is so vast and broad and deep that, Father, we're not even going to begin to touch the surface of it tonight, Father. But we thank you for your wisdom that you have given to us throughout our life, Father. You have guided us with your wisdom as we have taken steps in our lives, Father. Steps that we were not certain of, but, Father, through your wisdom, we took those steps. Lord, we thank you for this church. We pray, Father, that you'd grant this church wisdom as she moves forward and she looks to reach the community of Richmond for Christ. We love you and we thank you and in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There's another verse that I want to just quote for you. It's found in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. It simply says this. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When I saw that, I thought, well, no better place to start than at the beginning. And that verse has often been looked at, and I've looked at it many times, and I've wondered, what does it mean? I think there's two words I think we want to define tonight as we go, before we go any further, and that's the word fear and wisdom. What does he mean? What does Solomon mean when he says, fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? What I understand him to mean is simply this, that he wants us to have a respect, a reverence, a sense of awe of who he is. And I think Job came to that realization at the end of chapter, in the latter chapters of Job, God began to question Job, and he began to question him very deeply about his understanding of who God was. And I think Job came away from that experience and he came to a greater respect and a greater appreciation and a greater awe for who God is. So this idea of fear is not a sense of being scared or being afraid or running from God. It is simply a sense of awe and of respect and reverence. As you look around us, as you look at each other, you have a sense of the power and the presence and the awe of God. And so Solomon says, the fear, the reverence, the awe, the splendor of who God is. That's where we begin tonight with wisdom. What is wisdom? Oh my goodness. There's 100,000 different definitions of wisdom, but I chose to be very simple tonight. One that you can remember, I hope. And that is this, God. God. In God, we have all the wisdom. He has all the wisdom. There's no one that has any greater wisdom. There's no one has greater knowledge than he. And so when you define wisdom, wisdom is defined by who? By God. He is wisdom. He is the sole source of wisdom. We don't need to go anywhere else. We don't need to look anywhere else. We don't need to go into anybody else to find wisdom, and that is in God. And if you think about it for a second, how do you think God feels when we go and seek some wisdom somewhere else? How do you think he feels? He probably feels a little shunned, don't you think? That here he is, knowing all this wisdom and having all this wisdom, and yet we find ourselves oftentimes going to other sources and trying to seek wisdom from other sources. And he says, folks, I'm wisdom. I have all the wisdom you need. What about him that has wisdom? He knows everything. Right? He knows the past, he knows the present, and he certainly knows the future. And who else would we want to ask but for somebody that knows all that? He knows you and I. He knows you and I better than we know ourselves. Psalms 139, he says, he knows when we're going to sit down. He knows when we're going to stand up. He knows the very next words out of our mouth. He knows all that. He is a God that has all knowledge. Where else would I want to go than to a person that has all knowledge? I want to go to God. I want to turn to him for that knowledge and that wisdom. But Job asks a very interesting question. He says, where can wisdom be found? And I want you to look at the response. Verse 13, what does he say? He says, no mortal comprehends its worth. That's the kind of challenge we have tonight. No mortal comprehends its worth. We can't begin to imagine in our own minds, in our own hearts, the value of this wisdom that he has for us. No mortal can comprehend it. It cannot be found, you get this? It cannot be found where? In the land of the living. Hello? It cannot be found in the land of the living. Then he goes on, he says, the deep says, it's not in me. The sea says, it's not in me. So what's the answer? He says, where can wisdom be found? Then look over in verse 23 and 24. He says, God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells. Get that? Job asks the question. He says, where can wisdom be found? And then later he answers the question. He says, it can be found only in God. He says, God alone knows where it dwells. No one else does. He says, he knows. How does he know that? How does he have this wisdom? Look at verse 24. He says, for he views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. So as we see God and imagine God, He sees everything. His view, His vision is all impressing. There's nothing He can't see. There's nothing that He has not created Himself. He says, where is wisdom? And He simply says, wisdom dwells in Him. If you get nothing else out of tonight, understand that when you leave here, that God is wisdom. He alone has the wisdom that we need. But also, understand this, that God's wisdom is available. You know, I think sometimes we go running and searching and scratching our heads and saying, well, is it available? It certainly is. God's wisdom is not something that He is hiding from us over here, and as soon as we move over here, He's going to move it over there, and as soon as we get over there, He's going to move it over here, and He's just going to keep it moving it from us and keeping it from us. And folks, that's not it at all. God, He wants us. Get this, He wants us to have that wisdom. Because He Himself, Jesus, He Himself walked on this earth. He walked on His own, and He understands the wisdom that He needed when He walked on this earth, and He knows the wisdom that you and I need when we walk on this earth. James said, if you lack wisdom, don't ask for it. No, he says, if you lack wisdom, ask for it. But here's the problem. We oftentimes think, well, I don't need wisdom. The problem is that we have to come to the conclusion that we need His wisdom. We have to come to the conclusion that we are not wiser than He is. That our wisdom, that our knowledge, that our understanding isn't better than His. And so we have to kind of humble ourselves and say, you know, my wisdom, even though it's good and it's good and everything like that, but it's not as good as His. So yes, you've answered that question, if we lack wisdom. And the answer is, you betcha we do. You betcha we do. We lack a lot of wisdom. And therefore, James says, what? Ask. Ask, and what does the answer come? He says, ask, and it will be given to you. But you have to do what? You have to ask. And I know that probably asking is a humbling thing, and that's probably admitting that you don't have it, and you really don't. We really don't. We think because of education, we think of because of all the education we can get in America, all that we can available to us. Folks, when it comes right down to it, that's not all wisdom. He says it's available. Wisdom can also be right in front of us. Right there. Have you prayed for wisdom? Lord, give me wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. And you end up, it's right there. I heard a story about a guy. He was caught in the flood. The flood got so deep, he ended up getting on the top of his house. He sat there on the top of his house for a little while. And pretty soon, here comes a boat. The boat stopped and said, sir, we can take you to safety if you want. And the guy looked at him and said, no, I'm not going with you on your boat. And he sat there a little while longer. He got a little angry, and about that time, a helicopter came by. He got on the microphone, a megaphone, and he called down. He said, sir, if you'll get in the basket, we'll carry you to safety. The guy turned him away. Now, if I had been that guy, wisdom would have told me to get either in the boat or in the basket, right? But he didn't. And sometimes that's the way with God's wisdom. It's right there, and sometimes we don't see it. It's right there. Boom. It's available to us. All you have to do is ask. But, you know, we need to know some things about what we ask for, don't we? We like to know what we're asking for. Let me share with you a couple things about wisdom that you need to know about. First of all, wisdom is priceless. You notice that Job here talks about the price of wisdom, and he makes reference to several things. He talks about it being bought with gold or with coral or jasper. And he says the price of wisdom is beyond rubies. My understanding is that every 3 years, Solomon had a load of precious jewels delivered to him. A bunch of jewelry. And it was valuable. And these things that were bought in this cargo were very highly valuable things. But what does Job say about that? He says, you know, they were valuable, but they never reached the value of wisdom. They never could reach the value that wisdom had. You can throw all the money in the world. You can take all the money in the world and throw it at wisdom, and wisdom is still going to be more valuable than all the money you can throw at it. The other day, we were having a conversation at home. My father had a set of Zane Grey books. They were old Western Zane Grey books. And somehow my sister got those after my dad was deceased. We were having a conversation the other day about those books and wondering about the value of those books. And so I was sitting in my chair and I just got on the computer and started looking at value of Zane Grey books. One of the things I noticed, it said that if it was a first print, the first print, they were more valuable. But if that first print had a cover on it, it was even more valuable. But then it went on to say if it was a reprint, it wasn't as valuable. And here's what got me. On the bottom it said this. It says, really and truly the value is in the eye of the beholder. The value is in the eye of the beholder. My question is, as we sit here tonight and behold the wisdom of God, how much value does it have for us? How much value does it have for us? And how willing are we? How much are we willing to pay the price to have that wisdom? To get that wisdom? It's not something that we can do just overnight and walk away and say, oh, I've got all the wisdom that I need. As I look at it and understand it, wisdom is something that we have to pursue daily. We can't just pursue it in the midst of our trials or our tribulations, and even in the good times. We can't stop at that point, but we have to continue day by day, week by week, month by month, and say, Lord, I need your wisdom. It's that valuable to me. It's worth that much effort, that much sweat and tears for me to understand your wisdom and to give it to me. You cannot buy wisdom. It's not for sale. It's priceless. It's worth more than anything you and I can imagine. It's priceless. The second thing about wisdom is it pure? James, in chapter 3, talks about this. He talks about the two different, he talks about the wisdom that comes from the world and wisdom that comes from heaven. And the first thing he says there is he said, the wisdom from heaven is what? Pure. What does that mean? Here's the best way I can explain it to you from my understanding. Is God's wisdom is uncontaminated. It's undefiled. It's pure. When you ask for that wisdom, it's going to be pure. It's going to be the truth. It's going to be the uncompromised truth. What is our wisdom? It's contaminated. What's been contaminated by? Let me just say a couple things here. And you can go home and think about it. Common sense. Often today we think of common sense as wisdom. It's not. Oftentimes we say that we have common sense, and by golly, that's God's wisdom. But remember, our wisdom is what? Contaminated. Oh, and then we have what we call conventional wisdom. Have you ever heard that phrase? Well, it's conventional wisdom. It's when a group of people get together and they have a group discussion and they decide, well, this is the wisdom of the group. And by golly, if everybody agrees, that must be wisdom. God's wisdom is pure. And so when we ask for wisdom from God, you need to expect this. You need to expect that you're going to have the truth. You're going to get the truth. You're going to get what He has in mind for you. It's true. It's pure. It's undiluted. It's uncontaminated. It's just the pure wisdom of God. But very quickly, not only is it priceless, not only is it pure, but I want to say it, the last thing is it's painful. It's painful. Why do I say that? Because wisdom doesn't always go along the lines that we think it should go. Because we have come to a conclusion in our common sense that this is what we should do. This is what makes sense to us. This is what really we've just talked about. This really is what makes sense to us. And therefore, because it makes sense to us, we're going to do this. And quote, by golly, that's common sense. We're going to do that. Let me refer you back to Isaiah chapter 55. Verses 8 and 9. What does he say? He says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. So what does that tell us? That tells us that when we go to him and ask him for wisdom, and we sit there and wait for a response, don't be surprised if it's not a little shocking. It may be something that common sense hasn't told you is the right way. Or conventional wisdom. It's painful because oftentimes God's wisdom will take us this way when we thought we should have gone this way. It's painful for us. Oh my goodness. Who else was it painful for? It was painful for Jesus. Remember, as Jesus walked on this earth, he was in his human form. He was human in God. And so he, in a lot of ways, felt the pain. He walked in some ways along the path that we're walking today. And I believe from the very outset of his ministry to the age of 30, and even from age 30 to age 33, he knew in his own heart and mind where this was going to go. He knew that ultimately he was going to end up on the cross. And we see the agony and the pain of God's wisdom as he knelt there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, Lord, he said, Father in heaven, if you can take this cup and pass it from me, please do so today. You see, it's my thought here. That even Jesus struggled with his own Father's wisdom. It wasn't what he wanted. He said, Father, if this cup can pass from me, please have it pass. In his humanity, he said, Father, remove this cup from me. That's not all we heard from Jesus. They took him. They nailed him to the cross. They nailed him to the cross. And from the cross, he said this, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? And I want to submit to you tonight that even Jesus didn't understand his own Father's wisdom. It wasn't what Jesus wanted. He knew it was going to happen, but it was something that he didn't necessarily want and desire. It was wisdom that put Jesus on the cross. It didn't make sense to the philosophers. It didn't make sense to those in 1 Corinthians. They said, doesn't make any sense to us. Why? God could have thought of a better way than that. God could have done it a better way. He could have done it less bloody and less painful than that. But that's the way God chose to display his wisdom. You see, wisdom isn't always spoken. Sometimes it's lived. And that's what we see with Jesus. We see a man who had spoke for many years about wisdom. We see Jesus speaking of wisdom in the temple. And over again we see him speak words of wisdom to different groups of people and different people along his path. And I believe people listened to him even then. They heard what he said, they heard and they believed what he said. But I think the real demonstration of God's wisdom and even his wisdom is when they saw the action of wisdom. Not only are we supposed to have wisdom, folks, but we're to live wisely. We're supposed to take the information, the education, all that God has given to us and granted to us and use that wisely. There's one person I've left out. It was his mother, Mary. She looked up at her son. He had just cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Do you think this made any sense to Mary? You know what I believe Mary was thinking when she saw her son on the cross? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And here's the part that always gets me, and lean not unto thine own understanding. I have to believe that Mary did not understand what was happening. It didn't make sense to her. She couldn't see. She had just saw the crucifixion of her own son. And how in the world could that be God's wisdom? But it was. And Mary said, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. But in all thy ways," what? "Acknowledge him." And what? "And he will direct your path." I need wisdom. You need wisdom. And we have a God who is all wise. We're making a mistake, a great mistake, when we seek wisdom and we go to anybody else but God himself. He wrote it right here. It's right in front of us. It's all written in black and white print right here. That's where you need to go for wisdom. That's where you need to go. Tonight, if you're facing a difficult decision, tonight, if you're having a financial decision that you're having to make, maybe it's a marriage decision, maybe it's a job decision, and you're saying, Lord, I need wisdom. Back in 2016, I've been working at the Columbia Center Mall as a security guard for 5 years. I was about ready to have surgery on my foot, and I'd had to decide whether or not I was going to continue on with that job after my surgery or not. And against the well wishes of some of my family members who wanted me to keep the job, I said, no, I'm not going to keep the job. That was in March. In April, my foot was getting better. I didn't know what we were going to do. I didn't know what I was going to do. I saw this little ad in the paper. All it said was chaplain wanted, and it gave a P.O. box. I didn't know what it was chaplain of. It just said chaplain. So I put my resume together real quickly and sent it off. Make a long story short, I got the job. But I want to say this to you. It wasn't what I thought it would be. It wasn't the direction I thought it would go. And I'll tell you this. Being a hospice chaplain is the last thing I thought I'd be doing. But you know what? It was in the wisdom of God that happened. And the wisdom of God is always better than any wisdom I can have. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you have made wisdom available to us today. And not only today, but every day, Father. Thank you for this church. Thank you for these that are here, Father, tonight. And I pray that if there's any of us here tonight that are struggling with a decision, be it financial, be it job, or whatever decision it is, Father, and we have prayed for wisdom, and Lord, it seems like it's just not there yet. And Lord, help us to be patient. Help us to wait on you. Help us to wait on you until that wisdom comes and we have certainty that this is what you want us to do. And oh Lord, we're always careful when we pray for patience, Lord. But Lord, in this case, Lord, we sometimes have to have patience in order to wait upon your wise counsel and your wise direction in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.